Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, see, the man on the street interview, the man on the street interview, it has to be built around the narrative that the Democrats want you to build it around. That's what these man on the street TV interviews. Okay, what is the narrative that we want to push? Let's go do these man on the street interviews where we push that narrative. So if you guys listened to the show yesterday, if you listened to Wednesday's show in the 8 o'clock hour, we had a great drop in. Jake Eaton, a conservative political consultant here in Montana. He is also the campaign manager for Governor Greg Gianforte. I love the way that they are forcing this issue in the news, because you would think the news would want to do the news and ask this Democrat candidate for governor why he is refusing to release his tax returns. Now, it's most likely because he knows that there's some payments in there from these Democrat Party groups, these gun control groups, and maybe some other radical groups. And this fussy bussy character does not want you to know and to see who all he and his wife have been getting money from. So that's why he's refusing to release his tax returns. I mean, otherwise, why would the guy be so afraid to release his tax returns? Now, it could be because he's so busy out there criticizing millionaires that he doesn't want you to know that somehow he's made a lot of money supporting gun control. And so and maybe he's even a millionaire himself, and he doesn't want you to know that because it would expose what a hypocrite this guy is. But either way, you know, it's just so obvious when you watch what happens in the news. Oh, let's go do a man on the street. Let's go do a man on the street interview. Do you think these candidates should be doing a debate? Look, the candidates have done debates. Debates will happen. Debates have pretty much always happened. But that's not the real question here. The man on the street interview question should have been this. The man on the street interview should have been, do you think that this Democrat candidate for governor should release his tax returns? Why wasn't that the focus? Instead, the focus is, well, should these candidates do debates? Okay, everybody's going to tell you, oh, yeah, I watch all the debates. No, they don't. Nobody watches the debates hardly anymore. I mean, you do, I do, you know, because we're into this stuff every day, all day, you know, year round practically, right? But the average man on the street, they'll tell you that they watch the debates. They don't. One guy was honest. He said, oh, yeah, I've seen a couple TikTok reels, but that's about it. But again, the real man on the street interview is, what do you think about the Democrat candidate for governor not releasing his tax returns? And since we're all of a sudden doing man on the street interviews, why don't you do a few man on the street interviews holding liberal Senator John Tester accountable for his failed policies, right? What do you think about John Tester voting to allow men into women's sports? Boy, that'd be a great woman on the street interview. You know, go find women on the street. You don't even have to do the man on the street interview. You can do the woman on the street interview. That'd be some great television right there. Speaking of that, did anybody in the fake news media in Montana cover the big story out of the University of Montana? It got national attention, but none from them.
Military matters.
Anticipating an Iranian strike against Israel, the U.S. Navy moved the USS Cole guided missile destroyer to the eastern Mediterranean, leaving the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden without U.S. Navy assets to defend against the Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen, but also removing large U.S. naval vessels that could be a target for the Houthi missiles and drones. The Houthis struck a Greek-flagged oil tanker a week ago, carrying 1 million barrels of crude oil. That tanker is still on fire in the Red Sea. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Pat Ryder warns the crippled oil tanker poses a potential environmental disaster.
These are simply reckless acts of terrorism, which continue to destabilize global and regional commerce, put the lives of innocent civilian mariners at risk, and imperil the vibrant maritime ecosystem in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden, the Houthis' own backyard.
Adding that the Houthis are preventing efforts by third-party tugboats to put out the fire. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partly to mostly sunny skies for today, high temperature readings will stay from the lower 70s in Bozeman to around 80 in Billings. For tonight, clear and quiet, down to the mid-40s to around 50. And then Friday's outlook does call for more sunshine, with highs ranging from the mid-80s in Bozeman to the lower 90s in the Billings area. Clear and quiet Friday night. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is a huge story that is now getting national attention, but we broke it first at MontanaTalks.com. It's a report by a student athlete and a student journalist at the University of Montana in Missoula. A dark money group supporting John Tester was offering up paid political endorsements to student athletes, but some of these women rejecting the endorsement deal because Tester voted to allow men in women's sports. That story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, hold on. I better do this. If I don't do it right now while I'm thinking about it, I'll totally forget, and then I'll get to Livingston tonight and be like, man, why didn't I print out the lineup for the Lincoln Reagan dinner tonight? Yeah, that's right. We're going to be in Livingston tonight. It's Thursday, right? I always got to ask Tim and Savage, what day is it again? Because there was one day a while back I got real excited, and then I'm like, oh, it's not Thursday, so we won't get a woke update of the week from David Noble. But today is Thursday, so hopefully David Noble will be with us here in the next hour of the show with a woke update and more. But tonight, Thursday night, I get the honor of serving as the MC for the Park County Lincoln Reagan dinner. And so, yeah, it looks like they just got a great lineup of folks that are going to be there. And so a whole bunch of the statewide candidates, I think one, maybe two of the Supreme Court candidates as well. So if you haven't gotten a chance to meet them yet, it's a great opportunity for you to get a chance to meet them as well. Let's see. Oh, and by the way, if you go to MontanaTalks.com right now, since we're talking about travel schedules here, Livingston and Butte, here we come. And we're going to have some gift cards in hand for you as well. So before I MC the Lincoln Reagan dinner tonight, hey, why don't we give out some gift cards? Why don't we go say hi to some of our friends, right? Out on the town, downtown Livingston, Montana. And so that's what we're going to be doing. So we are going to be at Riverside Hardware this afternoon, probably starting around 2:30 this afternoon. We'll be at Riverside Hardware. Some of our listeners reach out. You know, I've been doing these events across the state, and one of our listeners in Livingston sent me an email. Hey, when are you coming to Livingston? And I was like, actually, very soon. Where should we do an event from? And had some of our listeners say, hey, you should go to Riverside Hardware. Great people there. So that's where we're going to be. We're going to be at Riverside Hardware in Livingston from about 2:30 to 4:30 this afternoon. Then we'll bust over to the fairgrounds for the Lincoln Reagan dinner in Park County. And then we're going to stick around because Friday morning, tomorrow morning, I will be live from Yellowstone Sporting Goods for the whole show. And I'll be there starting at 6 a.m. And so anybody can drop down, come join us on the microphone, grab a cup of coffee, whatever. And then after the show wraps up, give us about a half an hour. And starting at 10:30 tomorrow morning, we're going to do our gift card giveaway outside of Yellowstone Sporting Goods for Friday. And then Friday night, listen up there, Pork Chop. We're going to be set up outside of the legendary Pork Chop John's in Uptown Butte near the stadium. Friday night. So if you're heading up to the football games at Naranchi, you name it, hey, stop in, grab a legendary pork chop sandwich and say hi and grab a gift card from us. And then we may even stick around for a gift card giveaway at a breakfast spot in Butte Saturday morning as well. So I hope to see you all out there on the road. All right, opened up with the random start this morning. We ended up mentioning debates. And debates, and I think they've only got one scheduled so far between Kamala and Trump. But Kamala, I guess all the political press, they're just on pins and needles. They can't wait for this CNN interview with Kamala Harris, because it's been 30 plus days. She still has refused to do a press conference and take a whole bunch of questions from the media. But she's doing, you know, some wimpy little interview with CNN. You know, basically she's sitting down with a friendly liberal media personality for a wimpy interview. But she wasn't even tough enough to do the interview on her own. She had to bring wacky Walls with her. So Tim Walls is going to be sitting there to interrupt in case she starts getting into one of her legendary word salad moments. So she's bringing Tim Walls to sit in on this interview. Did they already record the CNN interview? I know they're taping it because they don't want to do it live. They want to have the ability to edit that bad boy down because, you know, if there's a total meltdown, they don't want everybody to see it in real time. But anyway, Scott Jennings, this was a soundbite. This Scott Jennings guy has been on a roll. I think I've got a couple of soundbites from him for you here this morning. This one we had racked and stacked ready to roll for you yesterday, but I love what Scott Jennings had to say. He is, I think he used to work for President W, for George W. Bush back in the day, but he's one of the Republican commentators on CNN from time to time. But listen to what he had to say about Kamala bringing Tim Walls with her for this wimpy CNN interview.
Is there the line now going to be, well, why isn't she doing it by herself?
Yeah, I do think people are going to bring that up. Like, I have great confidence in Dana and CNN to do this. I think it's incredibly weak sauce to show up with your running mate. The fact that they don't have enough confidence in her to let her sit herself, the actual top of the ticket, and do a single interview. In fact, I think the hand-wringing and the gyrations over this over the last month show a troubling lack of confidence in her political ability, which also makes you wonder as a voter, well, what kind of president would you be if this kind of a small-time decision, can we do an interview or not, what does that look like for your decision-making process, so on? So, I think Republicans are going to think it's pretty weak to show up with effectively someone to take up half the time.
Oh, I thought there was a line in there. I thought he said the line about how she needs a support animal to show up with her. Did I miss it there? Maybe he just kind of slid that one in there. Yeah, I thought he said something about how, you know, Kamala, it's weak sauce for Kamala Harris to need a support animal for her CNN interview. All right. Anyway, that was later on in that same interview there. Let's see. Oh, another great point that he made. I think this was yesterday on CNN. The Daily Caller has this story. Have you seen how the fake news media that lied about Russia, 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 and everything else? Now they're trying to attack Donald J. Trump for showing up at Arlington at the request of the Gold Star families. Jennings.
With the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network, I'm Lane Nordblond. As wildfires continue to rage across parts of Western Ag Network country here this week, at least a dozen ranches in Wyoming's Powder River Basin were affected by last week's house draw fire. Our network's Rachel Gable talked with one of the producers impacted by the flames.
Andy and Heidi Stevens lost their fall and winter feed ground in what has been estimated as a 175,000-acre fire about a week ago. Three fires were started by lightning and high winds quickly combined them, and he said it became a force they couldn't begin to stop. The first 5,000 acres, he said, were lost in less than 40 minutes.
You know, last year we had a phenomenal year up here. You know, one of the best recorded moisture years on record. So we had a lot of residual feed from last year, and we were just coming out of this drought, 2021 drought, you know, just kind of getting our feet back on the ground. And so we had some residual feed, and, you know, and we had some real timely rains this spring. We had a dry winter, but we had some timely rains this spring that So we grew some good spring feed and, you know, stuff was cured out. So we had, there was a lot of fuel for this fire. I mean, it was just a perfect storm.
No cattle and no houses were lost in this fire, but wildlife was affected. That loss will be slower to recover and also economically devastating to the area. Steven said he has already had to call hunters scheduled to arrive to hunt antelope in the coming days to cancel their hunts.
When you see a grasshopper that's on fire and it was moving 100 feet at a time and starting another fire, it was crazy. I hope to never see anything like that in my lifetime again.
Steven said the grass will grow back and fences can be mended. But when the ranching and wildlife communities suffer, so do local economies.
Thank you so much for that update this morning, Rachel. For our listeners that will be tuning in this afternoon to our Midday Ag Report, we'll have more on the Remington fire that is burning in northern Wyoming and southeast Montana. Just under 200,000 acres have burned. We'll have more on fundraising efforts underway in that region.
Stop the moisture-robbing weeds with a fall burn-down application of Vita herbicide and your preferred burn-down partner. With Vita, you're not restricted on the next crop. 0 to 1 day plant back on labeled crops, 30 days on unlabeled crops. Your choice of burn-down partner, adjuvant, and 2 fluid ounces of Vita, and you've got peace of mind come spring. You've kept as much soil moisture as possible. Quick control of broadleaves, including glyphosate and ALS-resistant weeds. Add power to your burn down. Ask for Vita herbicide. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan USA.
It's harvest time for Molson Coors barley growers. Hi, this is Spencer Ratliff from Fairfield, Montana. Farmers in Colorado, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming are cutting another high-quality Moravian barley crop that will eventually become Coors Banquet and Coors Light beer for consumers to enjoy. Bill Coors once said, beer is made in the barley field. Because if you don't get good barley, you can't make good beer. Molson Coors wishes for everyone to have a safe and bountiful harvest.
Well, a new cropping collaboration has been announced. CropX LDT, a group leader in digital agriculture solutions, along with CNH Industrial, have announced a new application programming interface connection between CropX Agronomic Farm Management Systems and Case IH and New Holland Agriculture Equipment. This integration will automate the transfer of data from CNH machinery to CropX for data visualization, record-keeping planning, and variable rate applications, all with the goal of helping farmers be more precise and limit input costs. And that's a look at agriculture today on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Northlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Governor Greg Gianforte was in Missoula yesterday. It must have been yesterday. He was on KGVO radio with our friend Peter Christian. And so yesterday we had the governor's campaign manager pop into the show in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Jake Eaton joined us. I told you a few minutes ago. And I had a great conversation with Jake. He's always fun to chat with. You'll definitely want to go back and listen to that one on the podcast if you missed it. But the governor was in Missoula, and so I reached out to our friend Peter Christian because we've got a report from him on our Montana Talks website right now. And Peter was nice enough to send us some audio of what the governor had to say, basically as he is calling on old Fussy Bussy, the Democrat candidate for governor, to release his tax returns. And I was just emailing Peter back there. I said, I think we all know why Fussy Bussy, I didn't say that in the part in the email. That's more of an inside joke between the Joker, John Jackson, and I. But I said, I think we all know why Bussy is refusing to release his tax returns. He doesn't want to know. He doesn't want you to know who all is funneling money into him and his wife's bank account. You know, all the gun control groups that want to take away your gun rights, all the wacko climate activist groups that want to kill oil, gas, coal, and agriculture in Montana, and much more. That's exactly what it is. Plus, I think his wife got paid a bunch of money by Joe Biden's campaign. So there's going to be a lot of there if old Fussy Bussy ever releases his tax returns, if he does. Of course, you know, the liberal Montana media won't ever really hold him accountable. If the tables were turned here and the Republican candidate was refusing to release his tax returns, these guys would be going ape Adam Schiff, if you know what I'm saying here. Nonstop coverage. Why won't the Republican release his tax returns? But now that the Democrat candidate refuses to release his tax returns, it's the onus is always on the Republicans. The onus is never on the Democrats here with these guys. Let's see. I mentioned Scott Jennings, this CNN commentator. The liberal media is just doing backflips, trying to figure out a way to attack Donald J. Trump for showing up at Arlington National Cemetery at the request of Gold Star family members to honor the 13 fallen Marines and soldier who were killed at Abbey Gate during the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. And instead of, again, putting the onus on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the acting president of the United States and vice president of the United States, for refusing to show up and honor the fallen from Abbey Gate. No, instead, they try to figure out a way to do gymnastics to attack Donald J. Trump for showing up and honoring the fallen at Arlington National Cemetery at the request of the families. Anyway, Scott Jennings laid it down once again, called it a political garbage attack. I'll play that clip for you here in 60 there for a second while I was listening to that Fox News update. I heard something about war zone, attacks, gunmen. Was that a report from Aurora, Colorado? And the Venezuelan gangs that have taken over that apartment complex down there because of Joe Biden and John Tester and Kamala Harris's open borders? Or was that the Middle East? Sometimes hard to tell. Hard to tell. Aurora, Colorado, Middle East. I don't know what the news report said there. I was looking at something else here. The something else I was looking at is this. The National Association of Police Organizations is calling on Kamala Harris to apologize. I think the Trump War Room sent this out here. In a statement Tuesday, Michael McHale, the president of the National Association of Police Organizations, said this after Kamala Harris back in 2020 compared policing to slavery, lynching, and Jim Crow. Quote, Kamala Harris has shown once again that she simply has no actual knowledge of what modern American police officers do, and worse, doesn't seem to even care for the men and women who put their life on the line to protect American communities. We call on her to retract and apologize for her comments equating policing to lynching and slavery. She has yet to explain her support for defunding the police, and even worse, her support for the so-called Minnesota Freedom Fund that put persons arrested for violent crimes back on the streets as Minneapolis burned during the George Floyd riots. These newly uncovered comments show that not only does she not back law enforcement, but that she may hate it enough to lie about it. The fake news media still desperate to try to figure out a way to attack Donald J. Trump, even though he is the one who showed up to honor the fallen warriors at Arlington National Cemetery. In fact, as Scott Jennings pointed out on CNN and the Daily Caller has this story, the family members actually sent President Trump a thank you letter for showing up at Arlington National Cemetery. And then he added this.
But they put out a long statement saying they could not have been happier to have Donald Trump there at Arlington with them. And he's given them more than the time of day. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can't even do
Scott,
that.
Scott, if they didn't get approval from the cemetery, shouldn't they have? And do you think they should now put out this video?
Listen, you know what I think? Only people who are so craven about this could try to turn something positive, which is Donald Trump spending time with Gold Star families, into some political garbage attack. That's what I think. The only people who matter are Gold Star families. They invited Trump. He went. And they're happy he was there. And if that's not good enough for the Democrats, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
By the way, forget a president of the United States for a moment. If you, whether you're in Butte or Bozeman or Billings right now, if you got invited to Arlington National Cemetery with a Gold Star family, you could hop in the car with them and they could drive you right into Arlington National Cemetery as a Gold Star family member with their access badge, as they should be able to bring an invited guest with them. I mean, give me a break. A political garbage attack. Well said.
Montana State News Network. I'm Dennis Bragg. A Billings man is being held on a $300,000 bond for the homicide case that developed after police found a woman's decomposing body outside the suspect's apartment. Shane Levi Cole Roberts is pleading not guilty to the murder of the 52-year-old woman whose name hasn't been released. Officers discovered the case when they went to an address in the Heights to check on the woman, saying they discovered her remains wrapped in blankets and towels on the porch. Montana Highway Patrol is identifying the victim, who was killed in a rollover accident on I-15 near Dell last week, as a 61-year-old Idaho man. Troopers say the man from Burley, Idaho, was killed when he ran off the road, overcorrected, and his Volvo tractor overturned. A 64-year-old Kent Washington man was killed when his pickup ran off I-90 on an off-ramp at Frenchtown just after midnight Wednesday. Troopers say the driver swerved right, sending the truck over the bank where it overturned. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. This week's settlement of a federal billing fraud case against St. Peter's Hospital in Helena is the second time this year a multi-million-dollar medical case has been in the news for a court judgment. 2 years ago, Joey Zahara of Great Falls was awarded a $6 million award in his original 2016 medical malpractice case against a local neurosurgeon. However, in January, a judge reduced that to $250,000 because of the state's cap on malpractice judgments. As Jason Laird reports, this new case is based instead over billing.
St. Peter's Health is agreeing to a settlement in connection to billing violations. Montana's U.S. attorney announced that St. Peter's Health has agreed to pay nearly $11 million after it self-reported violations of the False Claims Act for billing on behalf of physician Tom Weiner. The doctor allegedly would do one treatment for a patient, but also submit claims for other services that were never performed. The U.S. attorney's office explained that St. Peter's has 30 days to pay back a number of federal agencies. Reporting for the Montana State News Network, I'm Jason Laird.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Lots to get to here. Man, I was just scrolling over a press release here from Montana Governor Greg Gianforte's office. We were talking about the debates and la-di-da here. Let's see. Governor Gianforte highlights community partnerships in Southwest Montana. Let me actually just share some of these highlights, and then we'll jump back into the previous conversation here. I was talking about how this National Association of Police Organizations calling on Kamala Harris to apologize. Sean Hannity covered that story last night. We've got some audio ready to roll for you. And then J.D. Vance, President Trump's running mate, asked a very good question. What is the bigger scandal here? You know, the media is trying to manufacture a scandal about Donald J. Trump being invited by Gold Star family members to visit Arlington National Cemetery. What's the bigger scandal here? Him showing up or Joe Biden and Kamala refusing to show up? Another great soundbite for you on that front. But real quick here, Governor Greg Gianforte continuing his 56-county tour in Southwest Montana. Started off with a visit to Anaconda. The governor met with community partners to celebrate a recent $1.25 million grant from the Montana Department of Commerce pilot community grant program to upgrade infrastructure and build new recreational facilities to boost tourism in the winter. So that was, what some of the Anaconda meetings were based around. During a visit to Butte, The governor met with stakeholders to learn more about the city's plans for a recent $1.4 million award, also from the Montana Department of Commerce, to help community partners provide stable housing. So that was a focus there. Butte Housing Authority and others in on that meeting. And then let's see. Oh, he also talked about, you know, continued investments. What the governor describes as an historic $300 million investment to support needed repairs at the Montana State Hospital and provide some developmental disability program support, et cetera. You might recall the former governor, Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, spent a whole bunch of your money, but yet still gutted mental health programs in the state. And so, you know, you look at some of the challenges, Warm Springs and things like that, you know, Governor Gianforte and the Republican legislature has had to try to clean up the mess that the former Democrat governor created on that front. So anyway, that gives you a sample of what the governor was doing in southwest Montana. I mentioned he was in Missoula. We'll get you the audio here shortly of what he had to say about debates and more. As he joined our friend Peter Christian, we've got some highlights for you that we can share. But back to this conversation about the chameleon. I thought it was kind of funny. There was an ad that I heard during the commercial break about chameleons. Oh, it's a chameleon here. Boy, now she claims she supports a border wall. She claims she wants, you know, she's stealing President Trump's no tax on tips policies. Chameleon all around. Let's see, where do we start? Let's start with J.D. Vance. What is the real scandal here? You've got the liberal media trying to do gymnastics to try to make Donald Trump look bad after he was invited by these Gold Star family members to honor their fallen sons and daughters at Arlington National Cemetery. So J.D. Vance asked a very good question here. This was shared by the Trump War Room via X.
What is the bigger scandal? That Donald Trump was invited to stand by a graveside and actually accepted the invitation, or that Kamala Harris let 13 brave Americans die because she's a failure of a leader? And why hasn't Kamala Harris fired anybody who was implicated in getting those 13 Americans killed? And why hasn't there been a real investigation about why those 13 Americans got killed? I think that's a much, much bigger problem, and that's where the media ought to focus, not on Donald Trump doing his job and showing up as the president should.
All right, he went even further, too. As the Daily Caller reports here, he blasted Kamala Harris for these, in the midst of these attacks against President Trump, who actually attended that ceremony for fallen troops.
And the other thing that our veterans care, a lot more about is that 3 years ago, 13 brave, innocent Americans died, and they died because Kamala Harris refused to do her job, and there hasn't been a single investigation or a single firing. Look, sometimes mistakes happen. That's just the nature of government, the nature of military service. But to have those 13 Americans lose their lives and not fire a single person is disgraceful. Kamala Harris is disgraceful. We're going to talk about a story out of those 13 brave, innocent Americans who lost their lives. It's that Kamala Harris is so asleep at the wheel that she won't even do an investigation into what happened. And she wants to yell at Donald Trump because he showed up. She can go to hell.
All right. And then I mentioned how now after these newly uncovered comments have now come out where she has compared police to slavery, lynching, and Jim Crow. These national police organizations are calling on Kamala Harris to apologize. Here's what Hannity had to say in his report last night.
At far left base, she called on the criminal justice system to be fundamentally transformed, ending cash bail, legalizing drugs, expunging the records of thousands of felons, allowing convicts, including those on death row, even the Boston bombers, to vote from prison. She repeatedly vilified law enforcement, calling on public safety. Let's reimagine public safety, fewer police, and demanding that resource officers be removed from schools. Why would you do that? She even compared policing to modern-day lynchings and Jim Crow. I don't make this up. Here she is.
When we say that America has a history of systemic racism, we mean that from slavery, Jim Crow laws, lynchings, and policing, our institutions have done violence to Black Americans. And it has caused Black Americans to be treated as less than human.
Wow. And I mean, it just shows that once again, just how radical, how insane she truly is. And remember, who brought her to the party? Who brought her to the dance? John Tester, liberal Senator John Tester, far left. I mean, liberal. Heck, Bill Maher's liberal, but even he stood up to this COVID BS. John Stewart's liberal, but even he stands up to some of this BS. Heck, there's RFK Jr.'s liberal, but even he's standing up to this BS and endorsing Donald J. Trump, because this is just far left totalitarianism. And oh, by the way, remember when they actually did polling in Black communities where the police were defunded? The Black communities themselves actually wanted more law enforcement. But leave it to woke white liberals or liberal elitists like Kamala Harris to do the opposite and cause more harm to these communities. Jesse Waters highlighting how the fake news media is trying to produce this Cinderella story for Kamala Harris, nonetheless.
She's proud of the work that she's done as a part of this administration, making sure that American energy production is at an all-time high.
But on fracking, was there something that changed her mind, specifically during the 4 years of the Biden presidency?
Now, listen, again, the vice president is very proud of the Biden-Harris administration's record on energy production and the economy writ large.
You gave the same answer both times, which was nothing. The media is more confused with the Harris people than they are with the Biden people, because at least Biden knew his own policies. So how's the media supposed to defend the Harris campaign if the Harris campaign can't even defend themselves?
Unrealized gains, taxing unrealized gains, just doesn't seem fair in any sense of the word. In the very best sense, if you are taxing unrealized gains, all you're doing is pulling forward the taxes that would be paid later when someone actually sells the stock.
I think that this reaction to unrealized gains is a little funny, given that I bet that the majority of people watching right now are already paying a tax on unrealized gains. It's called a property tax. When the value of your home goes up,
that's an old
tax.
When the value of your home goes up, you pay higher taxes, even if you don't sell your home.
Your value of your home never moves the way the stock moves, the way something else moves.
That's always the go-to answer.
It's also, property tax is a use tax. You're paying for school, for the schools, you're paying for emergency services. Those are things that make absolute sense.
These Kamala surrogates are well-paid professional spinners, and they're getting roasted on cable. They're getting laughed at and eye-rolled out of the studio like it's their first time on TV because they don't know what they're talking about. They just hide, plagiarize Trump's policies, and think nobody's going to notice.
All right. Congressman Ryan Zinke from Montana's Western Congressional District. Yesterday, I shared some highlights of some Breitbart News interviews with Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and others. Representative Ryan Zinke weighed in on the Harris Walls ticket, talking about how the progressive liberal ticket is a ticket of sanctuary cities and abandonment. But he also made a great point when it comes to all the money going to Ukraine. And then, even more tragic, all the money going to the terrorists in Tehran to be used against us. Great audio from Zinke next.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We're now watching what is an attempt at the biggest transformation lie campaign in the history of this country. The Medicare for All bill that Kamala Harris herself sponsored with Bernie Sanders, she doesn't believe in anymore, according to her aide. The border wall that she mocked, that said was ineffective and doesn't work, now she's saying that she will build a border wall. The mandatory gun buyback, confiscation, in other words. Oh, no, no, the campaign says they don't support that. The no fracking, no drilling ban that she supports. No, 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 she supports them. Defunding ICE. Oh, no, 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 she supports them. EV mandates that she said over and over again she supports. Oh, no, she doesn't support that either. I mean, it's a pretty unbelievable attempt at a transformation.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
War, inflation, and recession. Did you know that experts call gold the everything hedge? Gold goes far beyond hedging against inflation or the stock market. It can potentially even guard you against today's wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. Not to mention the great economic danger of a recession coming, which is what we're all worried about. And that's why gold just hit another record high. And central banks, they just keep buying gold at a record pace. It's Linda here. Join me and thousands of people who have called Goldco the number one rated gold company. It's time you diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering our listeners up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus up to 8% in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, free bonus silver, and a free gold and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Call 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D. Do it today. You can't wait.
Victory.com to donate. Paid for by Sheehy Victory Committee.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Can you own a machine gun? Well, yes, maybe you can. A U.S. district judge in Wichita is throwing out a federal criminal case against defendant Tamori Morgan, who U.S. prosecutors say illegally possessed machine guns. The court cites the 2022 Supreme Court ruling in the Bruin case mandating modern gun laws have historical analogs. Laws passed in both 1934 and 1986 barred private ownership of many automatic fire weapons, regulating the purchase or sale of a select number of them via a tax stamp issued by the ATF. In this case, the judge says the feds failed to establish these bans are constitutional, rejecting their argument the items aren't covered by the Second Amendment, though the judge says the U.S. government could still possibly prove it in other cases. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a couple of messages that came in on our Montana Talks app. First, Mike in Billings. Yeah, you're right. I think, was it an 80s song or a 90s song? I think it was an 80s song. That comma, chameleon. I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. I don't want to ruin your morning this early. Definitely a song that goes very well with Kamala Harris. But also, I mean, Kamala Harris is basically John Tester's got the same stripes. They're both running this same phony campaign. John Tester criticized the wall on the southern border. He's voted against securing our border. He voted against the Keystone XL pipeline. But in an election year, he pretends to support building that wall, just like Kamala Harris is now in her own even campaign ads, making it look like she supports a border wall, the very border wall that she has attacked. John Tester is of the same stripes that she is. Mike in Billings also says this, and Mike, thanks for your service in law enforcement, by the way. He says this. He says Kamala needs to issue a full public apology to all law enforcement. But all police officers need to make sure she never gets elected. Let's see. What about the failed foreign policy? Congressman Ryan Zinke of the Western Congressional District here did a sit-down interview with Breitbart News. He said this when it comes to, let me get to that one in a second. First off, let's talk big picture. Failed foreign policy. We're on the brink of World War III right now because of this failed foreign policy of this current Biden-Harris administration. And frankly, the United States Senate plays a key role in foreign policy, as you know. And John Tester and his buddy Chuck Schumer, they're in charge of the United States Senate. They're responsible for this.
Well, militarily, you know, we face under the Biden-Harris policy, which she is aligned to. And she helped form it. She agrees with it. Is that we're facing a major regional conflict in Ukraine with no objectives and no plan, $150-60 billion into it. We're facing direct ICBMs launched from Iran into Israel, largely because the Biden administration and Harris has circumnavigated much of the sanctions and allowed billions of dollars to flow into the coffers of the same people that are launching missiles supporting Hezbollah, Hamas, and and the Houthis.
All right. So that's what he said foreign policy-wise. And remember, Tehran John Tester, as our friend Paul Mushaven from the Breakfast Flakes first described John Tester back in 2012. Tehran John Tester supported also this absurd Iran foreign policy of not only the Biden-Harris regime, but also of the Obama-Biden regime. What about this stolen valor running mate, Tim Walz, who lied about serving in combat, Kamala Harris's running mate? Here's what Congressman Zinke had to say, not just about Walz abandoning his post, but Kamala Harris abandoning hers as well.
Both Harris and Walz abandon his post the moment his unit goes to, you know, deploys. He abandons them and he lies about it. Ironically, there's so many parallels between Harris in Afghanistan and Walz's phony record.
Yeah, she abandoned the troops during the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. That's the argument he's making there. And then, of course, we all know how Tim Walz, Minneapolis burning himself, Tim Walz abandoned his own troops and ditched them before the deployment and bailed on them before the deployment. But yet then goes on to lie about several things, including stolen valor, lying about serving in combat. All right, let's see. What should we talk about in the 7 o'clock hour? I wonder if David Noble has a woke update of the week for us. If he doesn't, oh, man, it's so easy to find woke updates anymore. There's so much woke joke stuff going on all across America right now. Let me track down the one that I found. I was like, ooh, that's a perfect woke update of the week. I'll find it here in just a second.